Empathy is a very, very important part, especially when it comes to mental health, because those that are suffering from mental illnesses will always think that no one will ever understand them, that they'll never feel what they feel.
Aloha. Aloha, Terrell.
Aloha, Deidre.
And aloha to everyone out there, too.
Yes, aloha to you folks.
Because right now, we are about to dive into some pretty interesting topics.
One's relationships and hardships.
To one's childhood and trip down memory lane.
That's right. We are ready to talk it all.
So join us in our show,
DT Talks.
Aloha, everybody.
Aloha, friends and family. Welcome back to our new episode of our podcast, DT Talks Season 4. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, how are you guys doing? Weren't you excited, though, Terrell, when our episode came out, our first episode for Season 4?
Yeah, it was very fun to do, very chaotic. Yeah. And obviously, Atea did a great job. So
yes, even though he bullied me a lot, but it was good.
Yeah, and a chocolate hater.
Never forget that.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, how are you doing, Deidre?
Oh, I am doing better. I don't know if it makes a difference if the listeners can hear, but I got a new mic, so hopefully the quality improves.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear what you sound like when I edit this.
All right. But how are you doing, so, Terrell?
This week has been so stressful, but I got through and it was good at the end. I managed to fit everything together and finish all my assignments before today.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. So it was. You did it.
Yes, I did it. I was very happy. Very, very happy.
Nice. Well, since he's feeling happy, let's hear some more good news to make us happy. And let's bring in our wonderful Uncle Terrell.
Yes. And we'll go to the news right now. Here we go. This is Uncle Terrell back at it again with another news from the goodnewsnetwork.org.
What's the good news today?
This is something very cool because if anybody likes money, anybody who want to work remotely, this is the good news.
I'm all ears.
Okay, it says here, these beautiful Italian towns will pay you to move there if you work remotely.
Oh my goodness.
If you like to go to Italy, this is news for you.
Yes, it's listening.
It says here, as the COVID-19 malaise slowly lives around the world, governments are looking for quick and innovative ways to kickstart their travel industries. Portugal is building a remote worker village on the stunning island of Madeira, and now two Italian towns are paying 50% of the rental costs for remote workers looking to swap their current digs for a slice of medieval Italian rusticity. Rieti in the Lazio region and Santa Fiora in Tuscany are both having problems keeping young people in town, and the populations of both communes are stagnating. Maybe for coiffured Italian youths, the lure of medieval walls, Renaissance piazzas, and Baroque palaces set amid vineyards, rivers, local markets, and chestnut forests doesn't find purchase, but for most Americans, it's the quintessential vision of European life.
I've always wanted to go to Italy.
Italy is a very good place to eat all the good food. If you want to taste good pizza, you have to go to Italy.
I think there's so much more than just good pizza there, though.
But the thing that you have to try is always pizza and spaghetti.
All the pasta.
Okay, the next part, it says, nestled in the heart of Tuscany's Montepulciano province, is located within the Monte Amiata Nature Reserve, close to Val d'Orcia or Dorcia Valley, not far from Siena. The houses are affordable, costing between €300 to €500 monthly.
Wow.
For which an approved remote worker would receive a check for 50% of the total, potentially transporting you from your lousy studio apartment to this dream-inspired village for around €200 or €240 per month. So if you want to live cheap rent, and if you want to live closer to Rome, this is the place to go.
We'd love to go.
And just so you know, friends and family, this is not sponsored, so we're just promoting this as good news.
Yeah, we have no sponsors, guys. So just sharing all the good news, yeah.
Okay. The final details at the end here, it says, there is no convenient website like Santa Fiora has, and prospective movers would need to use subito.it or casa.it or immobilare.it, all Italian rental sites to find lodging. If you want to rent and work in Italy, you can go do research and then you can go there and live and go work remotely.
Nice.
Finally, it says, as this author, who himself is an American remote worker living in Italy, often says, many Americans will think nothing about spending 30 years dreaming of living in Europe, even though modern telecommunications have made it beyond possible to do so. So this is the good time to go spend your life after COVID-19. Stress. You can go there, work, and have fun and eat good food in Italy.
Yeah, don't just dream about it, actually do it.
You can actually do it now, so make the most of it. And Uncle Taro, maybe retire here, will go to Italy to work there and then eat food. Okay, this is all the good news from Uncle Taro. Take it away, Deidre.
All right, much mahalo, Uncle Taro. Italy, one day, guys. I want to make sure I go there one day. With that good news done, we are excited to hear from our guest today. It's going to be a special one, special topic. So we have a special guest with us.
Yeah, we have our wonderful friend that we grew up with. He is a psychology major and he's from Malaysia. And we'll definitely have him introduce himself.
Well, hello. My name's Justin Lee. And that's what Terrell says. I am from Malaysia. I'm currently majoring in psychology, more so in research and experiment. I'm currently a teaching assistant. And so I am actually part of a class here in Brigham Young University. And so I teach other students how to apply statistics in their research and also in other parts of life.
Wow. Nice.
Man, he already sounds like a smart kid, right?
Guys. Nah. He is smart.
Yeah, he's
also
a genius.
Guys, he just got married, so yay!
Thank you for all the wishes.
How do you feel now, like Justin? I mean, after being married and stuff.
Married life, I would say, is simple.
Okay,
interesting. You do a lot of things together. Of course, you don't spend time apart. You see each other every day. Every time you wake up, you see them. You go to sleep, you see them. But the wonderful thing is you don't get bored of it.
Oh, that's so cute.
That's nice.
That's so cool.
Alrighty, Justin. So we're going to get to know you better because we are getting into the segment of Would You Rather? So are you ready?
Yes.
Ayo. Here we go. First question. Would you rather oversleep every day for a week or not get any sleep at all for 4 days in a row?
Oversleep every day for a week.
Oh yeah, that's
who
me too.
Who doesn't love sleep?
Yeah. Oh man, it's worth it if you get into any trouble, because sleep is important.
Yeah, I think one of my professors told me, if there's anything that we should get out of his class, this is acting class, by the way, he said, if there's anything that you want to take out of this class, always take naps, okay? Or just sleep in general, because by the time you get to his age, or when you have children, you're never going to sleep anymore. Sleep is never going to be normal.
Interesting. Yeah.
I do agree.
That's good advice. Well, Justin, would you rather be able to take back anything you say or hear any conversation that is about you?
Ooh.
Actually, that's an easy answer for me, to take back anything I can say.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you have the ability to hear everything that's being talked about you, you would go crazy.
That's very true.
Especially if you're really popular, like Uncle Terrell here.
No.
Amen to that.
No, he's not that popular yet. Hopefully one day, I guess. Okay, next question. Would you rather spend a year entirely alone or a year without a home?
Ooh, that's a hard one. I mean, I'm married. I don't want to spend a year alone. That would be terrible. Yeah. So,
but you don't want to be homeless as well.
Just live in a car or convert a van into a home.
Okay, yeah, that works too, yeah. Or an RV. Road trip life, man. I'd do that, to be honest.
Well, would you rather people knew all the details of your finances or all the details of your love life?
Finances. That's a pretty obvious answer.
Our love life is like all the cringe, the things that you do.
Yeah, no one wants to hear that.
Yeah.
Why finances though? Are you rich?
My finances? No. I'm a simple man.
Simple man.
I work to earn money and I use the money.
Yeah.
Just I mean, why not just share, free. You know? Yeah, share how we earn money and everyone can benefit from it. No one will benefit from learning about my love life.
Like, yeah, that's a good point.
But
that's
what if you
point.
Get famous one day, though?
It's the same.
It's the same.
Everyone can be rich. Better world that way.
Fair enough. Final question. Would you rather have all your friends disappointed in you or have your family disappointed in you?
My friends.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm a family man.
Need to bring honor to the family.
Yeah, especially the Asian parents.
You
do not want them to be disappointed.
Yeah, not at all.
Yes,
man.
That is very true.
Well, yeah, now you know about Justin. He's a family man, simple guy, and sounds like he has a lot of things to say, so...
I hope so.
Yes, it's all in there. We just gotta let it out from Justin.
Yeah, definitely. Again, we hope that you enjoy getting to know Justin. He's awesome, as you already know. We'll get right into our topic today.
Yes, that's right. Okay, so as we mentioned earlier, today's topic is a more serious topic because we're going to be discussing anxiety and depression. And that's why we have Justin here with us. So with that, Justin, would you say that you know anyone who's dealt with anxiety and depression?
I wouldn't say very intimately, but I do know people who suffer from anxiety and also depression.
I see. Okay. Well, what about you, Terrell? Do you know anyone who dealt with anxiety and depression?
Sadly, I know a lot of people who's dealing with it. I'm suffering as well, if you want to put it that way. I have depression, slight depression, not like major ones, but I tend to fall into that position very easily. And also my mom as well. She discovered she had depression in her late or early 50s. So that's an interesting part to know. So I know a lot of people that has anxiety and depression for sure.
For us to better understand this, let's break it down, the meaning of anxiety and depression first.
Yeah, definitely. Anxiety disorder, according to the University of Minnesota, is characterized by emotional, physical, and behavioral symptoms that create an unpleasant feeling that is typically described as uneasiness, fear, or worry. These symptoms can be severe enough to constitute an anxiety/panic attack.
Yes. Okay, so depression is typically characterized by low energy and mood, low self-esteem. You have that loss of interest or pleasure in things that you normally enjoy, you know, your enjoyable activities. It's unfortunate, but severe depression can also lead to suicide. Okay, so suicide attempts and such. And with that, anxiety and depression are two of the most common mental health concerns in society.
Yeah, that is very interesting to know, huh?
Mm.
That's the case. So, Justin, with your own knowledge and your own experience and just anything that you can provide in general, can you explain a little bit more about anxiety and depression for us?
So, depression and anxiety, again, like, what has Deidre said is one of the more common mental illnesses that the world suffers today. And with more diagnosis or with people who are very informed in mental health, people are coming out and admitting that they do have all these mental illnesses.
Yeah.
It's very easy to brush away that you do not have anxiety or depression, but many times we do have some of the symptoms that are tied with anxiety and depression.
Interesting. So... What would you say some factors for anxiety and depression?
One of the more common factors, I would say, are biological, actually.
Oh, yeah.
So it does actually run through the family or from your siblings.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is in science, they have done experiments where if you have a twin that suffers from depression or anxiety disorder, then you are more likely to have them as well compared to others who do not have twins or family history of these mental illnesses.
Mm.
Dang, that's very interesting. I never knew about this. So
Yeah. So then does that mean like if you have depression, then if you have a child, there's a possibility they will have it as well?
Yes, there is a possibility, and it is higher than those that do not have a history of depression.
Really? Oh, freak.
Because biologically speaking, in the brain, we do have our hormones and our neuroreceptors. And so they are involved in how we feel. And so if you do not have enough of those, then you will have a higher likelihood for depression.
Oh, damn. Wow, that's food for thought for you guys. I didn't know anything about this, but that's why we have Justin here, right?
Yes, ask all the questions to Justin.
Definitely, yeah.
And something about anxiety disorders, there's actually a really broad range to what anxiety disorders are. Mm-hmm. And one of them actually is phobias.
Yes.
Do you have any phobias or anything that you're really afraid of, or just you want to stay away as far as possible? And one of the causes are traumas or something that has happened in your life that has triggered a response in your body. A very famous experiment actually was called the Little Albert experiment.
And so, I remember that. Yeah. I learned about it in my class,
What they did was, there was a baby, his name was Albert, and he was initially not afraid of rats, but because... Again, this is very, this was pre, you know, like the standard.
Before the 20th century.
For ethics and those kind of stuff.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
But the researchers would put the rat in front of it, and when the baby tries to touch it, they ring a really, really loud bell. And it scared little Albert. And soon enough, Albert became really afraid of rats because it associates the fear and the shock of the bell ring with the rat. And because of that, he grew up being really afraid of rats and also other rodents and small animals.
Poor Albert. He had to do all that.
Yeah, poor Albert indeed. I mean, like, another example that we can talk about is, like, we as Asians grew up, the biggest trauma that we get is getting a whooping from our parents.
Oh my gosh, when I see the stick, I'm like, I gotta go.
Man, yesterday I was watching a movie called Minari.
Is what?
Minari. It's a Korean-American movie that won an Oscar.
Isn't that the new one?
Yeah, that's the new one that just came out not long ago. So when I was watching it, when the dad asked the little kid to bring a cane, I'm like, childhood trauma! Ah! I felt it really, you know, I felt the tingles. I'm like, I remember all the past that happened to my life. So like, I feel like what Justin mentioned earlier is just, it would make sense, like, you know, when we have like kind of a anxiety disorder is that when we feel that we had a childhood trauma. So it's interesting to know.
Okay, well, I am kind of curious about this. So I know that depression and anxiety, a lot of it, especially like, you know, in the Asian mindset, the typical Asian mindset, they don't like to talk about these kinds of things. They dismiss it a lot. Yeah. And usually people with anxiety and depression, they do have those mood changes. So for you guys, have you personally had parents or relatives or close friends accuse you of being irritated or rude, or that you're always in a bad mood? Have you felt more withdrawn from them? Like you cannot explain your mood towards them?
Oh, that's a deep question, huh? I think for myself is that one thing that you guys want to know is that I have an RBF face. So if
are you sure about that?
Yeah, I do. Like, if you guys like don't know me enough, like especially the past few weeks where I'm working as a residential advisor, so a lot of people are scared of me because I have an RBF. It's worse when you have a mask on because you don't know when you're actually smiling, right? So, so I have a really bad RBF. And I think it's because like when I was growing up, I always feel like I need to focus on the things that matter and things that's serious. And when I'm doing a task, and a very important task, I usually get super serious. And it does, you know, ruins people's kind of mood, and people are scared of me. So shout out to Joy, by the way. She says she's always scared of me because I always have an RBF face, even though we're really close friends. But we're close friends, but she's scared of me. So I can understand that because, you know, her upbringing was not the best. And also my upbringing is not the best. So that's why I have the worst resting face ever. And people, if don't know me, then they see me like looking very angry. So that's how it is. I mean, I can't explain why it's like that, but I guess, you know, that's just how it is at this point of my life.
When talking about resting face, I do not have a very resting face either.
I think all three of us have the RBI.
Yeah, we do. I think so.
I don't know if it's actually tied to mental illnesses. I can't say confidently if it's like related.
Yeah.
Of course.
Like for me, for example, I completely understand. So I'm completely fine just sharing this, that I have had anxiety and depression since I was a teenager. I was diagnosed with major depressive, all that. And I remember as a teenager, especially, I was always so moody. I just felt like I was just rude. I was always irritated. And of course, that always landed me in trouble. And sometimes I just don't know how to explain it. Like, I cannot control myself. I'll say like rude things to my family. And sometimes I'll even think back, I'll be like, why did I say that? I just felt like that during that time, you know? So it's really hard when you don't want to be rude. You don't want to be upset or moody, but you kind of are. And that like separates you from other people, from better understanding you as well.
Yeah, and that's the sad part about life, huh, sometimes. I think if people take the time to understand why some people are irritated and actually ask them questions, not about depression or anxiety or anything, but it'll be good to
just
open up.
Just how they're feeling.
Yeah, how they're feeling in general. I think people will start to understand a little bit more, and then they'll start to, again, understand why you're reacting that way, and then they'll follow along with possibly having anxiety or depression at the same time. So I think it does go along the lines of your expression of irritation and so forth.
I mean, sometimes even the person who is suffering from depression or anxiety, they might not even know that they're experiencing that, like how I was when I was a teenager. I didn't know why I was experiencing that. I didn't think it was anything related to depression and such. Only after actually talking to like a, well, I went to a psychiatrist first. I don't like psychiatrists. But they explained it to me a little bit better. But it will definitely require a lot of effort on the other person's part. Like if you realize someone is moody or they're just different from how they usually are, it will require a lot of patience from us to try to understand them. Any thoughts on that, Justin?
Empathy. Yeah, I think that's what you're trying to go for. Empathy is a very, very important part, especially when it comes to mental health, because those that are suffering from mental illnesses will always think that no one will ever understand them, that they'll never feel what they feel. The thing about empathy is that you don't exactly know what they're going through, but you are right beside them and you will support them no matter what they are going through with. And that is very important, because social support is really important if they are suffering with mental illnesses.
True.
Exactly.
So I have a like question about that too. So do you feel like if we are there physically with the person, do you think there's a chance of signs of improvement of in general?
Definitely. Yeah. Because you do not want to leave a person alone, especially when they are suffering through their episodes. Because if they do not have anyone to talk to or cling on to, they will do things that might harm themselves or even worse.
Exactly. That's very true what he said. Well, we're getting into such a good discussion of this topic. But first, let's hear what our friends have to say for our next segment.
And yeah, here we go.
Okie dokie. This is for Terrell's questions. So question one, do you feel mental health is just as important as physical health? Yes, I do. The body and mind are connected in a very special way. And so, you know, when you improve health in one way, it helps in another. And so it's important to take care of both mental health and physical health so that you as a person can be healthy. You know, there's lots of different kinds of healths, but yes, mental health is just as important as physical health. Number two, do I personally know anyone who has dealt with anxiety and depression? Yes, I know several people. I won't name names or relationships, but yes, I know several people who struggle with anxiety and depression in, you know, varying degrees. Number three, what's something you wish others knew better about those suffering from anxiety and depression? I just wish other people knew it was okay. Like, there's nothing wrong with suffering with that.
Most of my family has most of my married family has, and a lot of the people that I went to school with, a lot of the people that I've just been neighbors with. Like, every single person has depressing moments in their life, and every person has some sort of nervous system that is going to bring in anxiety at some point in their life. But at the same time, I feel like aren't all diagnosed with a clinical version of that. I absolutely know people with it, but I don't think everybody is diagnosed with it, because everybody's degree of depression or anxiety is different. I wish more people knew how to help, I guess. Because everybody has a hard day, everybody should be able to relate to somebody who has a form of depression. And if you can just imagine your day being multiplied by all the time, that's what somebody else is experiencing with that depression. My husband, he has a close friend who suffers with anxiety and depression as well. He found out that his friend was having a panic attack. And so, like, in that moment, he dropped everything and he went to go take care of his friend, and he stayed with that friend until that person was feeling better, you know? Like, he didn't leave because he wanted to make sure that person wasn't going to do anything harmful to themselves later when he had left. And I think a lot of times it's easy for us outsiders who aren't experiencing the depression or the anxiety, like, full on, to just think that everything's okay as soon as they put a smile on their face, but a lot of times they're faking it. And so it's really important for us to know our friends and to get to know them personally and emotionally so that we can help them the best way possible. I think it's also really important for others to let themselves be a support system for other people, whether they have anxiety or depression or not, just because once you build that support system for yourself or for someone else, that life is going to be improved. And that life is going to have less mishaps. So whether that means hosting interventions to make sure that person is safe, or just going to get ice cream every now and then to make sure that that person is like, knows he or she is loved. Like, it could be so many different ways to be expressed, but building that support system for yourself and for others is so important. And if we could do that, then we could probably conquer most anxiety and depression cases.
As I'm sure many of us know by now, our minds and bodies are indeed linked with one another. So yes, I do feel that mental health is just as important, if not more important, than physical health. I am actually very close with, and you could even call her my best friend. And if I may add to that, it's never easy to see people close to you suffering, so to speak, but it's also as important that we do not deny that this is a reality, and that we could also allow for a space for vulnerability, especially in this day and age. Something I wish that others knew better about people who may be suffering from anxiety and depression. Well, I think number one, we should definitely start being more intentional about understanding what is anxiety and depression and the levels to it as well. Personally, for me, coming from an Asian upbringing, we aren't necessarily taught to talk about feelings or our problems. More often than not, we are coached to, you know, kind of just brush it aside or let it be. But if there's anything with the recent pandemic, if there's anything that it has taught us, it's that our mental health, fitness, and resilience is actually key for many people to pull through what I would call a difficult season, especially for those who may be distant away from their support system. I also wish that people showed more compassion, more empathy, and also kindness for those dealing or struggling with anxiety or depression. What's crucial to this is also that everyone deals with it differently, both in time and also in approach. It's not linear. I wish people knew that as well. It doesn't just change overnight, and sometimes even not even months or even years.
I really think that mental health is as important as physical health. I believe that when our mind is strong, that we'll be able to be strong physically as well. I mean, I heard before that when someone said that the mind is actually the master of the body. You have good mental health, it can prevent you from actually a lot of sickness. I know a few people that are going through like anxiety and depression. One of them is me. I actually have a few friends and actually relatives in my family that are going through this as well. So it's quite a number of people that I know. I really wish that people actually know and understand more about people who are suffering from anxiety and depression, and really know that, you know, there are a lot of factors that contribute to them having to experience this, you know, because it's not just like feeling sad or feeling down. Of course, we are feeling sad from time to time, but the condition of depression is actually, it could be from some chemical in the brains, it could be from hormones, it could be from genetic that pass through, you know, just like others. In order to understand people who are experiencing this, you need to be very considerate and know how to talk to them. You know, you cannot just go and say, you know, you have to be positive, you know, you'll be okay, you know, it's not a big deal, you think too much, you know, those kind of things is not working for people that are experiencing this. So if people are more mindful with this kind of situation, they should kind of do more research and study more of how to respond to be able to support people with depression and anxiety better.
Yes, I 100% agree that mental health is just as important as physical health. I feel like they work hand in hand, and your mental health definitely affects your physical state. Like, for example, like an athlete, like they could be in super good shape and they could be training all the time, but if they tell their brain, like if they tell themselves I can't do it, they're not going to be able to do it. That, like, your brain is a powerful source, and tell yourself you can't do something, you've built that wall, and it's just, it makes it so much harder to get over. And they both, like I said earlier, they just work hand in hand to improve your quality of life, and having that balance and both being in mental and physical health, being healthy and being stable, it just helps you be able to handle stressful things better, and it just affects the way you act and feel in all things. I do know people that do struggle and deal with anxiety and depression. I feel like oftentimes it's something that's kind of joked about and taken lightheartedly. Like, people just say it casually, like, oh yeah, I have depression, but it really is a real issue, and it's okay to struggle with that. And I think this ties into the next question of what you wish others knew about it, but I think we shouldn't take it so lightheartedly, because there are people do really truly struggle with it, and it's a complex issue. It's not a simple fix of, oh, just be positive or just be happy. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Like, it's not that easy. It's actually like chemicals in the brain that actually play a role in anxiety and depression. So I think for those who maybe don't suffer from anxiety and depression, to just understand that they are trying their best, and some days are harder than others, and that's totally okay. But yes, they're struggling, but that doesn't mean they want to be treated any less or they want to be pitied for it. Those that suffer from anxiety and depression are strong, like those who don't suffer from those mental illnesses. And if oftentimes I feel like they're stronger, but I wish others knew, just to be supportive, and don't act like you know everything, because there's a lot of things we don't know. But just continue to support, even on their good days and their bad days, just to always be there for them. And don't say those comments like, oh, you just can be happy, but because it's not always that simple, but still just being there for them no matter what.
Yes, those were good responses.
I totally agree with that. There's a lot of things that they said that really is a key point to how we should act when we are around people who do have anxiety and depression, or just like, you know, just being there for your friends or peers in general. For all of you guys, if you want to answer, that'd be great. What stood out to you from what the audio recordings were presented?
What stood out to me, that a lot of people say that many should be more aware or be wary of mental illness, and it should be brought forth in everyone's knowledge. Like, everyone should know about it, because again, I did say before that a lot of people brush it away or say it's nothing, it's just in the head. But ultimately, it is real. It is a very real and potentially damaging reality if it's left untreated. And so it is a very important thing that we be educated about it, and to know and to learn about it.
That's very true. I agree with Justin. And like, even for the audio responses, they were so good what they said. I noticed something is that these people that we asked these questions to, they're from all over the world, completely random people. And all of them know at least one person who's suffering from anxiety and depression, whether it be them or someone else. And that's kind of worrying in a sense, but it's also good awareness that it was not really common. Like, I know, especially when I was younger, I didn't know anyone who was suffering from depression or anxiety as I was. And I felt kind of alone in that sense. Nowadays, like, we're hearing a bit more and more people who are opening up about their experiences with it. I think that's like a good start, that we are more aware that this is actually something that a lot of people deal with. And we just need to get others to better understand it. Like one of them mentioned, like, don't make a joke about it, because I know a lot of people like to joke about it, like, guys, you're not suffering from that, it's all in your head, that kind of thing. I think it is important to be better educated about it, because like for me, when I first found out I suffered from this, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know who I could relate to. Of course, when you're by yourself, like as Justin mentioned earlier, like never be by yourself if you're suffering from this. Always have someone who's there for you, because when you're alone with your thoughts, that is the one that's going to damage you so easily, and you don't know where to turn to. And then like sometimes that will turn to self-harming and then so much more than that.
Definitely agree with that. And in, you know, if you guys don't know what this month is Mental Health Mental Health Awareness Month. And it's a great issue that we are talking about this, because I feel like growing up, especially for, you know, me, Justin, and Deidre, well, I don't know about you guys, but at least for me, I never learned anything about anxiety or depression.
Nope, I never learned that.
And sadly, I had to go through it without preparation.
Yeah.
And I think this episode can actually at least help you guys to have an idea, or at least prepare you if you've never had these experiences before. And as what was presented before from the recordings, they had a lot of friends that gone through it, if not themselves as well. And it's not a good thing to, again, bear it by yourself. Sometimes we feel that because, you know, we don't want people to see our weaknesses, and that's why we just say that, okay, I can do this, I can keep going. And it's just a matter of a small moment.
That's the sad part. Yeah, like when you see it as like your weakness, like because it wasn't talked about enough, it wasn't taught about enough, you see it as like, oh, I'm such a damaged person.
Yeah. And you know, and it's very unhealthy. So I think what you should do at this point of your life, I mean, listening to this podcast, you're already educating yourself, right? If anything, just, you know, go to Google. How can you help yourself?
Go to Google.
Yeah. I mean, like how where you can look for help.
Well, you have to find the right resources.
Well, yeah, obviously. No, you can't just search for everything to do everything, right? Especially for your mental health, or just like for your depression or anxiety that's going on.
Yeah, I agree with you both about being educated and being aware about it. And something to add on with Deidre talking about how it can be seen as a weakness, it is due to the fact that mental health is stigmatized in society.
Yes.
It's being seen as a weakness or an illness that cannot be cured, or something that shies away from what normal is. And in fact, mental health is and should be a normal thing. It should be normalized.
Yeah.
It's part of everyday human life. It's part of the world. It's part of society. And if we do not address these issues, then people will never or don't feel comfortable to come out and say that I have a mental illness and actually go forth and get help or seek help from professionals.
Yes, completely agree. What would you say to people who do not think mental health is important? Like they think it's all in your head. How do we better help people understand that?
Bro, these people need to be educated, if anything. Like, obviously for myself, I wish that I've learned it when I was younger.
Yeah.
And that's for, you know, the older generations as well. Like, you know, back in Malaysia, at least my family, they don't know what it is. They just think like, oh, I'm not feeling good, but all I have to do is just keep working and it should be gone.
Yeah.
You know, those weird.
Yeah. Yeah. I always get that excuse to like, just keep yourself busy. Then you won't think about it.
Yeah. I mean,
it's also true. Yes.
Yeah. But essentially you're not going to help yourself mentally, right?
Yeah.
And I think the best way that you can, or to solve this at least, is to tell others, not only say that you're not feeling well because mental illness is a thing. If you feel that you're not feeling great already, you should seek help and educate them. You know, they don't know about this. So it's a great way to learn, I feel like, at least.
Yes, definitely. I think we all that are educated or aware of mental illness or about mental health awareness is to be an advocate for it. You have to push others to be learning about this, and in the governments, in our societies. Of course, like in Malaysia, I'm pretty sure none of us has ever learned about mental health in schools, in public schools.
Never, yeah.
And so we could always advocate for that, or look for parties that are trying to push for mental health education. Or just go to other parties that might be helping those that are suffering.
I mean, in the US, they're doing a great job promoting and teaching people, especially for us, you know, coming to BYU Hawaii. We're very, very generously given with all of this knowledge.
Yeah, especially in our school in BYU Hawaii, they do provide good resources and help through the counseling services.
Yeah, and of course, like, getting educated from the courses that you're taking.
Yeah.
Even if you're not taking psychology, like I'm taking health, nutrition. I'm even learning about depression, what can not be prevented, but what you can do to improve and in order to make yourself more healthy mentally. So it is very interesting. And I'm very glad that we're able to learn this at school, at here especially. And it's a huge blessing to be in the US to learn this. But I hope, like, at least in Malaysia, education system will improve slightly more, and then people can actually learn about this and provide counseling services as well, so that people or students at least can express themselves. Because obviously not every family you're able to express yourself, right? Because how strong-minded or strict families are sometimes.
Basically, it all starts from education, guys.
Yeah, definitely. So my next question would be, like, what would you say? I mean, Justin already basically answered this, and Deidre already did as well. And I did too. What would you say are the things you would need to get better as they deal with anxiety and depression?
To add on to social support, which is really important, is to have resources available, emergency resources or professionals that you can contact at any time.
Yes.
And I'm pretty sure all mental health or psychologists or psychiatrists, they do have 24-hour lines. I'm sure the US here has it. I'm not sure about Malaysia, but you can always look it up. And they always have hotlines where you are able to call and they'll be able to speak to you and talk to you and work things through while you go through with all this.
Yeah. In Malaysia, we do have this one. It's called the Befrienders. So they're available. You can call them for emotional support.
I think we basically answered the question already, huh?
I mean, yeah, like, yes, it's true. I just remember, like, my experience when I was in Hawaii. So I would go to my therapist often, every week. And I really love my therapist. She's really good. She's really helpful. And sometimes, even though I do go to therapy, people think that once you go to therapy, you'll be fine, you'll feel better after a session. That's not the case. Sometimes you'll feel more drained out because of what you are discussing during therapy, like as you're going through your sessions. And so many times, I'm really grateful that many times that I went, I have a friend, shout out to Michelle. She will always tell me to message her, let her know once I'm done with therapy, and she'll come and get me and she'll walk with me. We'll go grab ice cream. And that's something that was so helpful. Like, even though we're not talking, I'm not telling her what I went through in therapy, but just having her companionship with me and providing me things that takes my mind off things, that was super helpful. Also, another thing that I'm so grateful for, shout out to Terrell, who had to deal with me. If you guys know, when I was there, Terrell knows for sure, I dealt with a lot of panic attacks, anxiety attacks. Many times I would message Terrell, call on him. Like, you know, for us, we are members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and we are fortunate enough to have priesthood blessings. I will always call Terrell and ask him for a blessing, and it helped so much whenever I had those anxiety attacks and such.
I mean, I'm glad I'm able to help, just letting you know.
Yeah.
But that's
it, just really made a difference. Even if I never properly expressed it to you, believe me, it made a difference.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I try to be, you know, I try to be the difference to others and help as much as I can, because I know, like, everyone needs help. Everyone in this world definitely needs someone to be with and someone to be there for. And so I feel like, not because it's my role, but because this is something that I want to do, you know, if you're able to save someone's life by just being there for them, just to listen
to them. Just even listening matters so much.
Yeah, it will change that person's life forever, and you never know what difference you're going to make for that person because of you making that effort to listen, you know. It doesn't take a lot of effort to even, like, listen to them or even talk to them, you know, when you're good friends with them and all that. Or not at all, if that's the case.
I guess one more thing I want to add, I almost left it out, but it's really important. But you need self-care as well.
Yes.
That's something you totally missed, but self-care is really important, not just social support. You need to help yourself as well. You can be anything. One thing I do personally is to meditate, and that's if you don't know how to meditate, that's fine. You could do sports, you could go out and eat an ice cream, or to just play video games. That's another thing I do to have my own self-care.
Very true.
I think just go along with what Deidre and Justin said as well, is that one of the best ways to have self-care or an investment at least, is to go to therapy. It's not cheap.
Yes.
Obviously, it's never going to be cheap. Letting you know, wherever you are, wherever you live, it's not going to be cheap at all.
Yeah, it's not cheap.
But going to therapy is one of the best ways to improve your own improve your mental health and to make yourself understand your anxiety or depression or just any mental illness that you're going through a little bit better. And then you'll have steps in order to help you to get through that. You know, like, again, like the audio recordings said a couple of times, okay, keeping positive doesn't like always help, but it does provide a way for you to get a step closer to see why you're going through this and how you can make yourself feel better. And again, going to therapists will know what's not, they won't necessarily know what's wrong with you, but they'll help you discover how you can become better and what are the ways or the steps at least in order for you, again, to improve the way you think. That's a great way for self-care, and therapy is one of the best ways to do so.
I just want to add to that. So I started off with a psychiatrist. One thing that's important to remember, don't think that any doctor you go to, like whether it's a psychiatrist, psychologist, or a therapist, don't just think like, okay, the first person you meet, they're probably going to be the one who's going to help you. It's not the case, because you have to find the right person who's there to help you as well. I didn't like psychiatrists. I went to two different kinds. They didn't help me. I went to a psychologist. It didn't help me. I went to three different therapists before I settled with my favorite therapist that really helped me a lot. There's a lot you might have to go through, but it's important. And yes, as Terrell mentioned, therapy is actually good. It does help you discover more about yourself. It makes you work on improving yourself. Like, I know you're with a therapist, but he or she will help you learn how to have that proper self-care yourself, because in the end, it's pretty much you are going to be there for yourself.
Oh yeah.
So it's better to start taking care of yourself little by little, you know.
That's true. I mean, I went to therapy as well, so I highly recommend it.
So yeah, Justin, do you have any final thoughts about depression, anxiety for this podcast episode for people listening out there?
I just remember when you talked about like going to a psychiatrist or therapist, psychologist. Yes, you have to do your research and see what you're comfortable with.
Because
if you go to psychiatrist, they emphasize in medicine and biology. They'll give you a bunch of pills for you to deal with. And there's like social psychologists, there's family therapists, there's all kinds. And so the resources are there. You just have to look for it and to see which one you are more comfortable with and go with it.
Awesome. Yes. Great information. I hope all of you guys, friends and family, have learn a thing or two, get a little bit more educated about mental health or just anxiety and depression and how you're going through with it. But Justin,
it's more than just feeling sad or blue, you know.
Yeah,
it's
a definitely
serious thing.
But yeah, Justin, how do you feel now being in the episode at the end of it now?
Pretty good. Yeah, I enjoy being in the company with you two. Talk about mental illness. It's really, really cool.
We're really glad you came though. It really helped a lot, bring more insight.
See how smart he is, guys. Yeah, well, once again, friends and family, thank you so much for listening to our DT Talks podcast season 4. We hope you definitely enjoy learning a thing or two again, and hopefully you'll be able to share with your friends and family so that everyone can be educated a little bit more about mental health.
Remember that you're not alone in this, okay?
If not, you can always DM us and we can talk to you. Please be sure to follow us on our Facebook, DT Talks Podcast, or Instagram, DT Talks _podcast, and on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Amazon Music as well. So thank you so much again for listening. And this has been
DT Talks.
Chee-hoo!
We're done.
We're done. Bye.